No special, is that right?
I think the special left.
The special left. Okay. Oh, okay. That's the way it works. I didn't know that. I'm glad you told me that, Brother Thompson, because I wouldn't have known. Well, good to see Brother Cox here tonight, isn't it? He's as honored as ever, so he's back to normal. And his wife is threatening him again, so I think things are pretty good shape. And just glad to see them and him and everything has turned out well. Well, I appreciate the privilege again to preach to you, and I would ask you to turn with me to Psalm chapter 11. Psalm chapter 11. Psalm chapter 11, and begin reading with verse 1. David said this, he said, "In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, and they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. And if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" I want to talk about that last verse, verse 3. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of being here again in your house. We ask, dear Lord, now that as we break the bread of your word, that you would bless the message, speak to us through it. And Lord, we just each day we want to draw closer to you. And we can do that also through your word. So bless now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, David was having a particularly difficult time in life. If you remember, his own son Absalom was gathering a following in an attempt to take the throne away from his father. A large number of men followed Absalom out of the land of Judah, and they were ready to kill King David and put Absalom on the throne. Now, David was thinking about this, and he was thinking about what if Absalom gets on the throne. He knew that because of the corruption that would come, if Absalom took the throne, would be something that Israel definitely didn't need. And so David asked the question, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now, in this case, David is referring to the civil foundations, those that are under control of men. Okay? And the foundation of society, of course, is law and order, justice and truth. It is these foundations, as you know, are being destroyed in America today. Law, order, truth, justice, morality, decency, integrity are being torn by the humanists. They're being torn down by the humanists and the liberal thinkers in our country. And you and I are seeing, folks, a determined attack being made against everything decent, moral, and Christian in our society. What sinful man fails to understand is if God is left out of society, we have nothing to stand on. And that is true. So we ask, as David did, if the foundations be destroyed, what can we who are righteous do? Well, one thing I think we should first of all talk about, and that is that the arrows are already in the air. Look at verse 2. "For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily," that is, in darkness, in the dark, "privily shoot at the upright in heart." So David states that there is this action is intentional on the part of wicked men. Now, the leaders in our government, folks, know, they know exactly where they're going. They know what they want. And you and I and all Christians are part of the focus of their ungodly ideas. And I guess you could say they're kind of like a pack of wolves. They're trying to separate us from the biblical exercise of our faith. They are endeavoring to separate us from the rest of society because they do not want God to reign over our nation. They do not. That reaffirms what the Bible tells us. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world had blinded, not their eyes, but blinded their minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So the arrows are in the air. And I can tell you tonight that they're aimed at three basic foundations. The arrows have hit, first of all, the home. As you know, we're not living in the Leave It to Beaver era anymore. In fact, a better description of the home today would probably be we're living in the Desperate Housewives era. The American home has become a dysfunctional mess. Isn't that not true? If you've been out visiting much at all, you have come across some of these homes, and I'm sure. Now, not only that, kids are left to themselves to do things that they shouldn't be doing. Honoring father and mother has been replaced with children's rights. Parents don't do much parenting anymore, but spend time living for themselves. And this foundation is being destroyed more and more each day. But despite, folks, the ungodly ideas of men, these ungodly ideas of men today, the truth is simply this: except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Now the arrows are in the air, and they have also hit the church. Most of the mainline denominations appeal more to the flesh in drawing people to church than they do for the purpose of seeing a life change by receiving Christ as Savior. And we see that also. Many churches have an open, all-inclusive membership. Doesn't make any difference whether you're saved or not saved. Doesn't make any difference whether you're a homosexual or you're straight. Doesn't make any difference whether you agree with Bible doctrine or not. It's just, come on. That's the church today. And the church has been deceived into thinking that doctrine is a hindrance to Christianity rather than a must for a strong spiritual life. You and I know that. But the unsaved, the ungodly of this world do not see that at all. And so American churches have abandoned their purpose. I kind of remember what Paul said that I think is interesting in this case in relation to the church. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10, he said this: to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. You and I, as part of this local, independent Christian fellowship, we understand that the church has a responsibility to stand for the faith. Nobody else is going to do it. And we shouldn't expect anybody else to do it. And in the world now where our churches have abandoned what they used to stand for, we cannot expect other churches to be involved in doing what they ought to do either. So really the responsibility comes down on those of us, whether it be here or wherever, those of us who believe the Bible as the Word of God and our authority for living, and understand that no nation can operate well without God at the helm. It just won't happen. And so the arrows have come and they have hit the church. Not only that, they've hit the government. Never would we have thought that our government would end up trampling on all three of these ordained, God-ordained foundations. And along with that, that they're trampling all over the Constitution, which is the foundation of our government that they lead. Amazing. Trampling all over the Constitution. Ungodly leaders have put the okay on sin and evil. They ignore the law for their own political gain and power. And, you know, I've noticed this. I mean, there's always been dishonesty in government. But today, this dishonesty in office is rampant. It's rampant. But God is warned. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And I understand that, folks, we need to keep our eyes on the truth, for other foundation can no man lay than it is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So what can the righteous do with all this transpiring in our time? What can the righteous do? And I know that every day that we see more and more of God left out of the affairs of men, the cry goes out, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, folks, we can stand in the light of the Word of God. We can walk on the highway of holiness, and we can raise our sons and daughters in the fear of the Lord. That and the grandchildren, we need to back up those things that our children are teaching their children. And so these are some things that we can do. Now, David knew the answer to the question when he said this in verse 1. In the Lord put I my trust. And then he says, how say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? You know, when things get tough, there's always that fleshly nature that wants to kind of, stop the world and let me off. Find me a place where I can go hide, where everything is a lot calmer. None of you ever gone through that, right? Hide me somewhere where I don't have to see all that's going on. But David realized that was not the answer. The answer is still what it always has been. In the Lord we put our trust. Now, our refuge is in the Lord. Now, what can the righteous do? Well, one thing we can do is every hour of every day, we continue to trust in His Word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in Thy Word, is what the psalmist said. So keep yourselves open to the Lord's care and to His promises. And perhaps in the light of today's challenges, maybe we'll pay more attention to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 that says, trust in the Lord with all thine understanding and with all thine heart, rather, and lean not unto thy own understanding. And when we do that, we can walk through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil. And that's certainly the way it ought to be with us, even though the times are difficult. What can the righteous do? Well, one thing we should do is talk to the Lord daily. He knows our needs and He knows our concerns. In fact, Jesus said, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask Him. And you know, when we pray to the Lord, we are talking to the one who knows our every thought and our every concern. Who knows exactly what is taking place in our life and in the world. Who is it better to talk to about all these things than the God of heaven, who knows exactly what is going on? He knows where it's headed. He knows how it's going to end. And he knows all the details, the things that we cannot possibly know. He's the one we need to be talking to. because He understands it exactly. And when we talk to Him, we talk to the man with a plan, if you want to put it that way. Because the Lord has His plan, and nothing will ever derail the plan, won't alter it or customize it. The plan is the plan, and it will be planned out to its finish. So we ought to be talking to the Lord. There is no better person that you and I can talk to than Jesus. Now, what can the righteous do? We can claim the promises that are given to us. Nothing that man will do can change what God has promised and He's planned. The Bible says that the Lord is not slack concerning His promises. Well, we need to hang on to that, because that is the truth of the Word. And know this, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And I'm sure glad of that, aren't you? Glad of that. And let me tell you tonight that God is in His holy temple. He knows what the ungodly are trying to do when they shoot their arrows our way. And keep in mind this also, that we can also, what can we do? We can also stand for the faith. I want you to think about this. We assumed at one time that surely one woman could not get prayer out of the school. But she did, and we let it pass. Who would have ever thought abortion could become an accepted means of birth control? And it is. A few years ago, Agha Said, leader of the American Muslim Association, said this, "America is no longer based on Judaic Christian values and practices." He said of our country, it should now be based on Judaic Christian Muslim values. But listen now, what he really meant was that one day America is going to become, as far as they're concerned, a Muslim nation. And can I tell you this? Already there are 1,200 mosques operating in the United States of America today. 1,200. And 80% of them were built in the last 12 years. Now, you take that and you multiply that forward, and in a few years, you can see how dominant. We used to say there's a Baptist church on every corner. One of these days, if the Lord doesn't come back by then, there will be a mosque on every corner. And folks, the reason why the Muslims are coming to the United States is that they're not dumb. They're smart. You know, when a pastor goes to a church, it's a new church, and he has trouble with certain people in the church, one of the things that they advised that would be the best thing to do is just win people to the Lord, and then you'll finally outnumber them. It makes sense, doesn't it? Well, what do you think the Muslims are doing? The more they come into the United States, the more that they will get rooted here, and eventually they will take the United States into being a Muslim nation, probably without a lot of fuss. Now, folks, here we are today. And this is reality. And nobody else is going to stand for what's right except you and I and every other Bible-believing Christian. Now, keep in mind that if this, too, in fact, our theme for this year, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit like men, be strong. Not just men, but all of us need to stand and be strong for the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. There's no other option here. That is where we are and what we must do. Now, if you are saved, you've had a true experience, and that is real salvation. You have an expression, and that is your Christian living. And you have an expectation, and I have an expectation, and that is the return of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." Set your affections on the things above, not on things on the earth. In other words, we are not to dwell on all the things that are going around on us to the point where dwelling on them begins to depress us, begins to pull us down, because then we're not trusting. And so what the Bible is telling us is we move forward by constantly and continually seeking the things of God in our life. And that's a lot of things considered in that. Seeking God in relation to our own Christian lives, in relation to being able to stand firm for the faith and to defend the truth of the Word of God. All of this is part of keeping our affections on the things above and not getting tied down with the things of this earth. I don't know about you. Have you thought about this? The Lord's coming would seem like not going to be too far off. So all the things we're doing one of these days are just going to be gone. And when we get to heaven, I guarantee you, we're not going to be thinking about anything down here. And the simple reason is not just because we'll be with the Lord Jesus, which is the greatest thing. But when you're in your new body has no connection with this old world. It's all going to be heaven and the Lord Jesus Christ and all that He has planned for eternity. That's what it's going to be. But in the meantime, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? We can do these things. We can continue to trust in His Word, continue to talk to Him in prayer. And we can continue also to stand and to be strong in the faith. So folks, listen, the next time that we sing that great hymn, "How Firm a Foundation," we ought to sing it with real joy and enthusiasm. And I want you to take note of the fourth and the last stanza. I'll just read this to you, but when you go to sing it with enthusiasm. "The soul that hath leaned on Jesus for repose, I will not desert to His foes. The soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never, no, never forsake." We are firm and we are completely secure in Christ no matter what we see about us. But don't give up. Continue. You and I need to continue to stand for Christ and for the truth. Not easy, but the Bible has told us it is not going to be easy. And people are not going to be, if you're one of these people that just have to be accepted by everybody, you're going to really have a hard time, because if you do what the Lord would have us to do, people are not going to like you. And but they didn't like the Lord either. And we still will go ahead and be faithful to Him. Would you stand with me this evening?